Fresh oil, fresh breeze from heaven, a fresh breath from the Father. All just receive from Him tonight, for He is not a taker, He is a giver. Hallelujah. Break us, Master. Break us. Break us, Lord. Break us. Break us from the area of rebellion. Break us from the area of disobedience. Break us tonight, Lord. Break us to where we fall into the arena of discipline. Because those who are not disciplined are unfaithful. And they cannot be trusted. Discipline is to be discipled. And to be discipled says that you put it into practice so that you are disciplined. If you are called a disciple, it's because you're to be disciplined. If you are not walking in discipline, your flesh is walking on you. We bless you, Master. We bless you. We either walk in the Spirit or walk in the flesh. There is no gray area. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. The Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit so you don't do the things that you wish, desire, misled, or deceived by. Or we're at a critical time, or discipline is so important. Discipline, faithfulness, servant's heart. Many say, I want to serve you. Many say, I want to serve you. Many say, I want to serve you, but the Lord says, their heart is far from me. They only want to serve to be seen, but they don't really want to serve me. They want to serve them. A servant's heart. A servant's heart. A servant's heart is in the hand of the Lord. A servant's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Teach us, Master. Teach us. Teach us to serve you, and so serving one another. Grant us, Lord, the wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Grant us, Lord, the clarity and sensitivity that we may see those things to come. So sensitive that we know that we know that we know those things that are not as though they are. Clarity, wisdom, discernment, sensitivity, and discipline. Discipline. We give it all tonight, Master. We give it all. We give it all. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to teach us tonight and sever the entanglements attached to our heart, that the heart of Christ will be manifest, because the heart of Christ is a servant's heart in each and every one here tonight. And that you'd grant us those eyes and those ears and that heart according to your will, that we may progress and prevent anything from degressing, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Oh, this is the night the Lord has made, and it's a good night to oh yes, it's a good night to die to yourself. Listen, grab your Bibles, hold them up, say, Lord, I believe your word. And I'm asking tonight that you'll give me powerful revelation to walk according to your Spirit at this time, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen? Amen. All right. Go to Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, is everybody there? In verse 10. Let's read it together. And the disciples came and said to him, Jesus, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the what? Mysteries of the kingdom of what? Heaven. Ooh. But to them it's not been given. Now the word mystery here we know means a secret of hidden truths. A secret of hidden truths. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. So it's important that we understand the mysteries of God. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they don't see, and hearing they don't hear. In other words, that word, that second word hear, means listen. They're hearing, but they're not listening. Nor do they understand. Because if you're able to see and you're able to listen, understanding will come. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should what? Heal them. Wow, that's powerful. You know, it's amazing on how many individuals receive counsel, receive vision, receive certain things from the Lord, but they only hold on to it for so long and then drop it and then go do their own thing again, and they go back into that cycle. One of the areas that happens is the devil causes people to lose faith in what they were told by hearing and become an unbeliever in that area. They drop it and lose faith in it. See, they actually, because they can't truly see it, when something is spoken to you, it must be pasted in a picture. That's why Jesus spoke to them in parables, because you're able to see it. And if you're able to see it, it should be impressed, tattooed into your memory, so that it comes forth by the Spirit of the living God into your imagination when needed, so that he's always there to remind you. Are you hearing? But people begin to erase it out. They begin to replace it with their own agenda. They begin to replace it with their own will. And it's the enemy that stands there willing to exchange what God has given you for what he wants to give you. Because many are led by emotion and not by the Spirit. Are you hearing? So if there's an emotion there, they're willing to exchange it quickly. Because when it's done by the Spirit, it's always not an emotion, is it? It's a choice. Are you hearing? So that's why people never finish. They don't finish deliverance. They don't finish the healing. They don't, and then they lose what they've gotten because they haven't been disciplined, because they're feelers. They're feelers. And this is where God is requesting us to become more disciplined and not become a feeler, but become a submitter. Now, these mysteries that God has given to each and every one, he says, listen, it's been granted for me and you to have mysteries. Mysteries of what? The hidden secret things of God for me and you. It's amazing when people take those things nonchalantly. You know why? Because they look, but they don't see. They hear, but they don't listen. And these precious things from the Lord fall to the ground. Are you hearing? Okay, go to Daniel 10. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. In verse 10. Now there are certain requirements to receive the mysteries of God. And then there are requirements when he gives you the mysteries of God of what to do with them. Now, the Bible tells us that certain things spoken in God's season will change certain things. But if it's spoken out of season, it will falter and hinder. I've seen people prophesied over when I knew it wasn't God's season for that person to receive a word yet. And it has hurt them instead of helped them. Because then they began to chase the prophecy instead of the Lord. And it usually happens because as babies, they're always seeking a word from the Lord. Then they begin to run after that prophecy instead of run after the Lord. And because of the spirit of immaturity that is still there, it causes them to stumble over that prophecy all the time. Are you hearing me? And that's why there's got to be guidance. That's why there's got to be submission. That's got to be overseen. God always puts us in divine order, doesn't he? In Daniel 10, in verse 10, would you read it with me? Suddenly hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, don't fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you what? Set your heart to understand. These are some requirements. And to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I came because of your words. What was the two things he did? He set his heart to understand and to humble himself. Now, let's go a little further. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to make you what? Understand. Because his heart was to understand, and he humbled himself. Now he had a desire to understand the things of the Lord, the deep things of the Lord, and the spirit of revelation came. He is an angel. He came to bring revelation. He's known as the spirit of revelation. And let me tell you, he wants to hang around with you if you'll let him. He's the one that showed up to John and gave him the revelation. He is an angel. He is known as the spirit of revelation. Let's go a little further. Now, I want to read verse 14. He says, now I have come to make you understand what will what? Happen to your people in the what? Latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to what? Come. So he wanted to give him understanding. He wanted to bring him to a place where he would know that these mysteries, these secret hidden things that God has planned, he wanted Daniel to know so that he can fall in position and know how to pray. It wasn't to give Daniel goosebumps. It wasn't to puff him up. He didn't even tell him to proclaim it. It was for him personally. Are you hearing? And when he had spoken these words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, my Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? For as for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is there any strength left in me. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be with you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. So when he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. How did he get strengthened? He spoke to him. He did not get strengthened by the touch. He got strengthened by the word. He said, be strong, be strong. And he became strengthened. Are you hearing? Then he said to me, do you know why I have come to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is noted in the scripture of truth. No one upholds me against these except Michael, your prince. So then he says, listen, I'm going to tell you about the things in the scripture of truth. All right. So for me and you, there are three requirements. In this, what is required for me and you is, of course, to have the heart to understand and to humble yourself and to warfare. The heart to understand, to humble yourself, and to warfare. It takes those three areas, and you must be disciplined in those three areas. To have a heart to understand, to humble yourself, and to warfare. If you are lacking in those things, you are not disciplined. And God will not release to you or send to you the spirit of revelation. But I'll tell you what, a familiar spirit would love to show up and try to become the spirit of revelation. That's why revelations from a familiar spirit will puff a person up. But the spirit of revelation that comes from the Lord will humble a person tremendously. And the fear of the Lord will become a part of that person's life. Just like Daniel, he was what? Trembling, wasn't he? Why? Now listen. Go to 1 Corinthians 4. It'll make it simpler. You know, when somebody comes to you and says, man, I got a revelation, and falls the next day, that revelation wasn't from God. It might have been a warning saying, you're going to fall tomorrow. But they didn't take it. See, because the Bible says pride comes before what? A fall. So people break covenant because a familiar spirit will come and bring them revelation. But it will be the wrong revelation because they'll puff that person up. Pride will come in and they'll bam! I knew people that could tell you about 50 revelations they get a day, but they couldn't walk right. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Is everybody there? Start at verse 1. Let a man so consider us as what? Servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Do you know that we are called to be what? Stewards of the mysteries of God. Whoa. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found what? Faithful. So if you are a steward, you are faithful. But with me, it is very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God. Now, stewards of the mysteries of God. The one thing is it's required that the person be what? Faithful. He must be what? Faithful with a servant's heart. And I'm not going into a servant's heart and a requirement, but I think what we'll do next week is talk about a servant's heart. Because it's important to understand what a servant's heart is. It is totally sold out, I can tell you that. A servant's heart. Now, this is a place where people are not in the area of wannabes, but they're willabies. There's a difference. This is a place of positioning. It is a servant's heart like Daniel. Now, a steward. What is a steward? He's the one who's a carrier of mysteries. If he is a steward of the mysteries, he's a carrier of the mysteries. Are you hearing? That's the first thing. He's also a distributor of the mysteries. And is responsible. He's what? He's responsible to and for another's resources and goods. In other words, he handles them like they're his, but they're actually somebody else's. See, the mysteries of God are his. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We are carriers and distributors, but we're responsible for his goods and these mysteries that he releases to us and releases to us. That means that you must be responsible and discern when to release it and when to hold it. Because it can become a stumbling block or it can become a freedom block. Is everybody okay? In Romans 16, in verse 25. Romans 16 and verse 25, would you read it with me? Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the what? Revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. I love it. But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. In other words, it was a revelation of the mystery. And who brought the revelation? The spirit of revelation, who is an angel. Are you hearing? It's a revelation of the mysteries before creation itself. Now being revealed more and more because of the last days by prophetic signs, language, symbols, dreams, events in Scripture. Do you want me to repeat it? Now being revealed more and more because of the last days by prophetic signs, language, symbols, dreams, events, and Scripture. Ooh. The Bible tells us through Daniel, and I'm not going to go there, I'm just going to tell you. It's in, I think it's in Daniel 12, 4 or something like that. He says, in the latter days, knowledge will increase. Now we know that carnal knowledge is increasing, but God is releasing more and more revelation knowledge according to the mysteries, isn't He? So that we are standing stronger, constantly staying ahead of the devil, being prepared to counterattack his attacks. You know, many people get wiped out because they miss the revelation from the Lord. And the Bible tells us that people who don't get revelations from the Lord, they're no longer, they let go of the restraints. And they begin to float. And I mean by float by certain emotions, float by certain things. They're not disciplined. They're not holding themselves back. First of all, they're not seeking. You know, if you don't have a prayer life, you don't have a life. I don't care how long you've been a believer. And I'm not talking about praying at work. I'm talking about you having a personal prayer life. If you don't have a personal prayer life, you don't have a life. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that's one of the areas the devil always loves to stop people to do, is pray. There are people who have the gift of tongues and then finally don't pray. Don't use the gift. And it should be used every morning because you don't know what to pray, but your spirit prays. We don't have the gift. Well, lift your hands and get it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in what? Mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for whose glory? Ours. Isn't that wonderful? Now He gets all the glory, but He's expressing His creation, His offsprings. Why? So that we can become stewards of these mysteries. So that you would be known as a child of the Most High God. Oh, glory. Let's go a little further. Which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the what? Deep things of God. The wisdom of God, not of man. So I want you to understand that these mysteries that God gives us are, it's like if God gave you an egg, or somebody gave you an egg, when you crack that egg open, see, the egg is the mystery. And what's in that egg is the wisdom of God. Hello? So in these mysteries of God is the wisdom of God revealed from all eternity into the natural realm. But He says something here. He says, there's two things you must be able to do. See, eyes to see, and ears to listen. That means receive, believe, proclaim. What are you proclaiming? God's will, hidden from creation for a prophetic purpose. It is for a prophetic purpose, are you hearing me? To establish divine order and position, to establish divine order and position, and expose the resistance that comes from your enemy. I'm going to say it again. It is God's will hidden from creation for a prophetic purpose to establish divine order and position, to expose the resistance that comes from your enemy. Now, there's more. To bring fresh oil, love, and power to his children to bring fresh oil, love, and power to his children and manifest his kingdom in the physical realm. That's a big egg, ain't it? I'll repeat it. It's God's will. Okay, in other words, it's the wisdom of God for what? For us to receive, believe, proclaim God's will hidden from creation for a prophetic purpose to establish divine order and position. To expose the resistance from your enemy. To bring fresh oil, love, and power to his children and manifest his kingdom in the physical realm. Revelation chapter 1. Is everybody okay? You need to get Revelation just for the teaching. So we ask for the spirit of revelation to come and give us revelation in Jesus' name. Revelation 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants. Show who? His servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his what? Angel to his servant John. What angel was that? Spirit of revelation. Who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he what? That he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Now go to verse 9. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the what? Spirit on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in the book and send it to the seven churches. Now, I want you to understand something. He says, listen, I heard something. That word heard means listened. I listened. See, when you hear something, if you are hearing intently, you are listening. When the Bible says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says, it means you are listening. There's a difference between looking and seeing, hearing and listening. You can look at something, but not see something. You can hear something, but not listen. See, when people are looking and hearing, they put it on the shelf. When they are seeing and listening, they put it into practice. There's a difference. And what did he say? Listen, now I want you to write down what you what? See. See, you might, in the spirit of revelation, he will always cause you to see and to listen. As a matter of fact, majority of the time, you will see, then you will listen. Are you hearing? I know the things that he gives to me, he just doesn't come with a word. He will cause me, I will see, and then I will listen. Let's go to Colossians 4. Then he says, speak what you see. Proclaim it, right? Colossians 4. That's why you got to be able to see correctly. That's why you be able to listen. That's why you must be able to discern. That's why you must have clean hands and a pure heart. That's why you must be disciplined. Because God is not going to release mysteries to those he can't trust. Colossians chapter 4, is everybody there? In verse 2, would you read it with me? Continue earnestly in what? Prayer. I share again. If you don't have a prayer life, you will not receive mysteries. You may receive conviction. Hello? Counsel. Correction and direction. but you will not receive mysteries. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the what? Mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. What does he say? Walk in what? Wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Praise God. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. So we see here we are to speak what you see and what you're listening to, of course, according to God's time. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Is everybody there? Start at verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may what? Prophesy. But he who prophesies speaks what? Edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. In other words, there are people who didn't receive the gift yet, or have received the gift, but are not using it. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive what? Edification. So he talks about tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophesying, decreeing, proclaiming, confessing the mysteries of God. Now, I just want you to understand that in this, as you're praying in tongues, God will also impart in you mysteries. You may not know what they are yet, but all of a sudden he'll quicken them to you. Things that he wants to reveal for now. For what? Direction. For protection. Could be for a warning. He's revealing events, isn't he? Look at all the things that are going on right now. Listen, it's amazing because the Jews knew about the seven feasts of the Lord, but they've been kind of held off in the body of Christ. The enemies tried to erase them. Why? Because those are mysteries of God that are appointed visitations from the Lord. And now the Holy Spirit is expressing them more and more and more. And now where there's more understanding and correlation at a cosmic arena associated with the seven feasts of the Lord also. Because God wants his people to be ready. Go to Exodus 3. So these are some areas that I want to share with you so that you begin to be more sensitive to the mysteries and how to access some of these areas where God wants to release his mysteries to you to proclaim. In Exodus chapter 3, what are mysteries? They are hidden secrets of God. Exodus chapter 3. Let's go to the first five verses. Exodus 3, 1 through 5. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he what? He looked. And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now watch this. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and what? See. See, he first looked. Now he went, what? To see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look or to see, God did what? Called him. Are you understanding this? He what? He called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. See, so he first looked. And once the moment Moses said, I'm going to see, the voice came. And what did God do? He revealed his mysteries to him, didn't he? Are you hearing me? See, there's too many people looking and not enough people seeing. See, that's why people can't see things through. They can only see part way because they're not really seeing. They're just looking. So Moses looked, and when once he turned to see, God spoke to him. Go to 2 Kings 2. See, we're not lookers, we're seers. 2 Kings chapter 2. Hallelujah. Everybody all right? Lift your hands to heaven and get a drink. Fill them, Lord. Fill them. We welcome Phyllis here. Phyllis in overflow. You know, isn't it be wild if we got home and there's an angel called Phyllis in overflow? You never know. There might even be one called Pour Out. Phyllis, all right. Overflow, man, I've been waiting to meet you. Hey, where's the oil one? I want to meet the oil one. You know, everything manifested in the natural realm was associated with the spirit realm. See, if you could really see what was going on in the spirit realm, you would find that all of these areas that are labeled are associated with the spirit realm. Where did I say to go? Second Kings chapter 2. Start at verse 1. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Right? Now, Elijah was going to take the place now of Elijah. So Elijah is like going, he's following Elijah. Is everybody hearing me? Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now, why was this happening? Because God was testing Elisha's heart to see if he had a heart of a servant. Are you hearing? See, he was willing to follow him. He was willing to do whatever it takes. He was willing to press in. He even had the prophet's son come out and say, you know, your master is going to be taken from you. And you know what he said? Shut up. Y'all be quiet. I don't want to hear any of that. He did not lose focus. He kept his eyes on his master, Elijah, all the way through. So he went from place to place. He went from Gilgal to Bethel to Jericho, then to Jordan. In each place, he was harassed. Are you hearing me? Now, in verse 9. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? See, there was a process. Hello? The mantle did not get passed on. Are you hearing me? Until there was a process, wasn't there? It's amazing. People want to fulfill a position that it's not been passed on yet. Just because it's been prophesied on you doesn't mean it's time. It took 14 years for David to become a king. Samuel didn't become a prophet overnight. Are you hearing? I mean, we all want to go through drive-through, but it ain't going to work that way. There's a price for you to pay. Because all of us must come more to the end of ourselves, so we are not moved by gifts, prophecies, emotions, and people. We are moved by the Spirit of the living God. Are you hearing? Okay. So he says, okay, man, what you want? And Elisha says, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, you've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you what? If you what? If you see me where I am, taken, when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not, it ain't happening. So he says, something's going to come to you if you're able to see me. So he went through all of the stuff. He said, man, don't you lose sight. Don't just look. You better be seeing. Don't just look. Why? So then he did see him. And he saw him get taken up. In other words, he was hot on him, man. He wasn't letting him go nowhere. That's it. If he could have put himself in his pocket, he would have. But he said, if you see me. All right? Now, look at what happened. He went from one place to another place to another place. And then he turned around and he what? Asked him. So Elisha had to what? Listen. But he already knew that his master was going to be taken up, didn't he? He had already been called to fulfill his position, but it wasn't time yet to fulfill it. He had to go through the process. And then he said, only if you can see will you get it. Can you imagine that? So if he didn't see, you know what? Elisha would have not received the mantle if he missed it. If he was just looking and not seeing, he would have missed it. Does everybody understand? So, Elijah tested Elisha for a servant's heart. And we know that resistance and distractions will come to you to prevent you from fulfilling. You must focus on the mission and fight to see and to receive. Jeremiah 24. You know, the Bible tells us that the secret things are released to those who have the fear of God, and that it is, as one of us, as a believer, it is our right for us to reveal and to be revealed to the mysteries of God. Are you hearing? They are for me and you now. They're not for the world. You know, they're for the body of Christ. And Jeremiah 24. Jeremiah 24. Verses 3 through 7. And the Lord said to me, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, figs. The good figs, very good figs, and bad figs, very bad, which cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge those who are carried away captive from Judah, whom I have sent out of this place for their own good into the land of Chaldeans. And I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them back to this land. I will build them and not pull them down. I will plant them and not pluck them up. Then I will give them a what? Heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return to me with their whole heart. Wow. Sometimes the Lord won't reveal things to you until you see. I shared that with you already. What did he say? He said, what do you see? And when he told him what he saw, then he revealed to him what he was going to do. It was about his people, wasn't he? He was going to what? Bring them back. Now, he was going to ask him, now these are the things that I'm going to do. Now that you know what I'm going to do, I want you to decree it. Because the only way it can come into the natural realm is by decreeing it, prophesying it, or confessing it. Does everybody understand? What we call proclaiming. Go to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. Now the Lord begins to talk about his wicked leaders in Israel. And in verse 27 he says, her princes in her midst are like wolves, tearing the prey to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, thus says the Lord God, when the Lord did not speak. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppressed the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in a gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. So sometimes the Lord is looking for someone to proclaim the mystery to stop what he was going to do. You know, he talked with Moses and told Moses what he was going to do to the Israelites, and Moses begged him, and God changed his mind. Are you hearing? Sometimes the Lord is trying to release something to us to bring a decree to stop what's going to happen. It doesn't mean that you have to stand up in a building or anything and begin to decree. He may send you somewhere. You could go out in your backyard and decree certain something that he's causing you because he wants to stop it. But if nobody's listening, it will proceed and do destruction. Are you hearing? Is everybody okay? Now, these messengers were unclean, weren't they? They were unclean messengers carrying a false vision. Are you hearing? Listen, if the messenger is unclean, don't you dare listen to what he's got to say. I don't care if they quote scriptures, whatever. If you know that that messenger is unclean, touching unclean things, not doing the right things, not disciplined, don't you listen. Amen. Don't listen. Now, I'm not talking about somebody making a mistake. You understand? There's nothing wrong with practicing in the gifts of the Spirit. But you still got to be clean. And somebody can make a mistake, But praise God, all things work to the good, don't they? So never be afraid of making a mistake. Better to make a mistake and be corrected so that you can learn. But in this, these men were unclean. There were saying things that was from God to manipulate and to get false gain. Are you hearing? Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. It's just for you. Is everybody there? In verse 1. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. A man will be a hiding place from the wind and a covers from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The eyes of those who see will not be dim, and the ears of those who hear will what? Listen. Now, there's something very powerful. He's talking about the rock. He's talking about seeing, and he's talking about listening. Are you hearing? Okay, now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians 10. This is the rock of mysteries. It's actually known as the rock of revelation. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The rock of revelation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4. He's talking about the rock of revelation. He says you got to see and you got to what? Listen. Which will bring forth the mystery. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of the spiritual rock. That was the revelation rock. That followed them. And that rock was what? Christ. Glory. Now listen. But with most of them, God was not pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these have become our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now, it is the rock of revelation. Now, I want to explain something to you. And we just talked that you must see and you must listen. He's talking about Christ, but I want to go back now. Do you remember when, and I'll give you the scripture. I'm not going to go to it. It's Matthew 16, 13 through 18. It's when the Lord says, Who do they say that I am? And then who do you say that I am? Who do they say that I am? Now who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. And the Lord says, on this rock, on this revelation, I'm going to build my church. Are you hearing? So this is, and he's talking about Christ himself, but how it was established. Now, I'm going to give you another scripture. In Exodus 17:6, the Israelites were in the wilderness, and there was about 3 million of them, and they needed a drink. And the Lord said to Moses, there's a rock. I want you to go strike it. And Moses goes and strikes it, and it hit a gusher. Enough water to feed 3 million people. I would say it was a lot of water, right? And they travel on now, and then the Lord tells Moses, okay, now listen, this time I want you to go speak to the rock instead of strike it. And Moses got angry, got in the flesh, and ended up striking the rock instead of speaking to it. And God still fulfilled his word because he wanted to feed his people. But because he didn't speak, but struck the rock, it delayed fulfillment. And the people could not enter the promised land. Are you hearing? It delayed fulfillment. Why? Because he did not speak to it. He struck it. You know why? He wasn't seeing and he wasn't listening. He was looking and hearing and fell back into the old thing, didn't he? See what happens? If you're just looking and hearing and not seeing and listening, you will fall back to the old thing when something comes up to you. Let's go to Proverbs 7. So because Moses struck the rock and said he spoke to it, God changed his mind. He said, okay, nobody's, you ain't going in the promised land. Does everybody understand that? In Proverbs 7. So can God change his mind? You betcha. Is everybody there? Proverbs 7, verse 24. Now therefore what? Listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways, nor stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. All who were slain by her were strong men. Hello. These are people who thought they were strong in the Lord. But you know what happened? They stopped seeing and listening. Let me share something. Listen. What does the Bible say? Many, when you see the word heed, it means listen. He said, many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Because they're listening to the voice of the stranger and only hearing the voice of God. Hello? When you hear, see that word heed, it means listening. Take heed in how you do this. Listen. Now, do you see what happened right here? This is powerful. He said, now look at, they fell, and even though they thought they were strong in the Lord because they were no longer seeing or listening. Psalm 81, I love this one. Psalm 81, in verse 8. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will what? Listen to me. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will what? Hallelujah, if you'll just listen. You'll open your mouth, and he will fill it with what? The mysteries you will proclaim and decree. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, and Israel would walk in my ways. I would have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord will pretend submission to him. The haters of the Lord will pretend submission to him. The haters of the Lord will pretend submission to him. The haters of the Lord will pretend submission to him. I don't need to go any further. But their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat. How does he feed you with? Revelation. Mysteries. The finest, he said. I will reveal some of the finest secrets. With honey from the what? Rock. Yes! I would have satisfied you. Glory. Open your mouth and he'll fill it. If you'll listen, just listen. He'll feed you mysteries right from the rock of revelation. Granted to you by the spirit of revelation, the angel of revelation. Now go to 2 Kings 13. Is everybody okay? Y'all kind of quiet tonight. Are you listening? Are you listening or just hearing? Are you seeing or just looking? In 2 Kings, in chapter 13, in verse 14, are you with me? Now, Elisha had become sick with an illness of which he would die. Then Josiah, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen. And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, put your hand on the bow. So he put his hand on it, and Elijah put his hand on the king's hands. And he said to him, open the east window. And he opened it. Then Elijah said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them. And he said, take the arrows. So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, strike the ground. So he struck three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck five or six times. Then you would have struck Syria till you have destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only three times. Now, this is called a window of opportunity. This is when the Lord brings you into a place in the Spirit. And there is a window of opportunity that it reveals something to you. The problem is the king was only looking and hearing and not seeing and listening. Because if he was able to see it all the way through, he knew he was supposed to strike the ground more than three times. Instead, he only struck the ground three times and he can only defeat them three times. Eventually, Syria ended up defeating them because he could not see. Are you hearing? See, there are windows of opportunity that people miss when God is saying, do this. And because they're not seeing and they're not listening, they miss those window of opportunity. And then you have to wait for it to come around again. It's a window of opportunity to see and listen. You get it right, you advance. You get it wrong, be ready for the next window. Now, we've got to be careful that we do not worship the things that he gives us. Because people have a tendency to constantly get fed off of the things that he gives us and worship them. These mysteries. Once the mystery comes, you've got it. When it's time to decree it, you let it go, and that's that. Are you understanding? Is everybody okay? Because people have a tendency to turn around and begin to worship the mystery that God has just given them. Are you hearing? And then it begins to puff them up instead of humble them. Now, I'm going to go to Matthew 7, and then we have one more scripture. Matthew 7:7. Speaking the mysteries. That's why you must have the Holy Spirit, so you can have a witness within you. It's not a feeling. It's a knowing. Matthew 7:7, would you share it with me? Speak it with me. Ask.
Hello.
Ask and it will be what? Given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be what? Open to you. This is powerful. In other words, ask. You know, when you ask, you have a tendency to look. You know, what's in the word seek? See. When you seek, you've gone beyond looking now. You are seeing. Are you hearing? Now what you're doing is, when you knock at the door, what are you usually waiting for?
Who's there? Hello?
You know? Do you understand that? See, so asking is an arena where you're looking. Seeking is the arena when you're seeing. And knocking is because you're listening. That's how things are done. It doesn't mean that when you ask, you're looking. When you seek, you're looking. And when you knock, you're hearing. No, you're going to miss. It's the area of seeing and listening. It is different. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds, and him who knocks, the door will be open. Does everybody understand that? Everybody okay? Philippians 4. You know, again, I can't emphasize the season we are in a new beginning and what's happening. And I mean, it's just powerful where we're at. You know, we're seeing things begin to change. Things, you know what? It's amazing because things are beginning to look better in a natural realm right now. Don't be deceived. They're supposed to look better. In Philippians 4, so I can only tell you, take advantage of it. Philippians 4 and verse 6, would you read it with me? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Never be anxious. There is a difference of being led and being pushed. Let me share something with you. If you are uncertain whether you're being led or pushed, don't do anything. Because if it's God, he'll honor you for what you did. Are you hearing me? And if it's not God, you won't open the door to the enemy. Does everybody understand that? You know, the devil puts fear in people. Oh my God, I'll miss God. That's fear. So now you've been promoted by what? A push. You understand? See, when God gives you something of a mystery, there is always a wonderful peace that it's overwhelming, and a lead. There's not an urgency. It's a wonderful piece of, it's a flow. It's just like a sweet breeze. It's never in an area of urgency. Are you hearing? When he begins to reveal a mystery. Now, I'm not saying that God won't tell you if you're in a place, get out of there. He'll tell you that. Get out of there. And you'll hear it more than once. Get out of there. Get out of there. Get out of there. He'll tell you. Now that's for your protection, isn't it? I've heard that too. But there is this place when the Spirit is giving something, but it's a leading. It's not a push. It's an overwhelming peace that you're going to declare a mystery. Are you hearing? And it's all in his time. And see, but you must be in position. So when that window of opportunity opens, you are in position. I'm sharing this with you because the area where God is, we talked about 888, in the area where God is tightening up and cleaning up. And in this, he's tweaking things so that there's more closeness, more knitting right now. Because he wants things more clear. Not in the area of questioning. Not in the area of uncertainty. but more clear. There's things that are coming more clear, more vibrant. You know, that's why God is cleaning us up. There's an area right now, you know, that God is saying, man, you know what? Even the little things that you thought were okay, you're finding out now are no good. Man, you know, I can't do that no more. Because God is squeezing. You know, and in this, His Word is coming forth in a powerful way, revealing mysteries so that we can proclaim the praises of Him and who He is in His mysteries. Are you hearing? You know, it's up to us to not only warn the world, but to share what's going on. See, if you're in the Spirit, God's going to give you something, even if you're somewhere for somebody, but it won't be a push, it won't be an urgency, it'll be an overwhelming peace. It won't have anything to do about a feeling. You'll know that you know that you know. And it'll be done in love. Love. But remember, God has trained us up to be trusted. He reveals His secrets to those He can trust. Like I said, you may hear God tell you, get out of there. You may hear God tell you, repent. You may hear God tell you, do this. But there's a difference between the secrets that have been hidden before creation than the word of the Lord coming to you for counsel, correction, and direction. Are you hearing? Is everybody okay? Are you ready to receive? Praise God. Lift your hands. Father, we give you all our glory, honor, and praise, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. And we ask, Father, that we no longer be lookers or hearers, but seers and listeners. I ask that the Spirit of revelation will come upon each and every one here. That you will clean up. And that those who are become faithful more and more and more, that you begin to reveal the mysteries. I thank you for the testing, because you said you search for those who will seek you. You search for those who are faithful. You'll search for those who are disciplined. You'll search for those who are willing to do whatever it takes and sold out. So, Lord, we just ask tonight, and we ask for your forgiveness of every area where we've fallen short into looking and hearing and not seeing and listening. So, Father, I pray a blessing over each and every one. And I'm asking, Lord, that you'll visit them in dreams, in visions, revelations, and impartations, that they may proclaim the mysteries of heaven to men here on earth, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.